This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're here with Love Our Proud
with Z and G on Joy 94.9.
Kesu just decided to roll on in.
It's this time of night. How late
this time
is it?
Of night. It's like probably like quarter, probably half past midnight, I'd say,
it's
around
rough.
About. And Peter Jones just decided to stroll on in.
Hey guys.
How are we tonight?
Yeah, pretty good. It is late and I am reasonably happy.
Reasonably. So yes. can we get you to up that happiness level?
Yeah.
We have Skittles.
No. Too late.
Okay, too late for Skittles. That's true. That is true.
But it's finally Friday. We can tick that box off.
We can. And that should supply some sort of happiness, right? End of the working week. What are we working towards, Pete?
The weekend.
Right?
As always.
No, I think, is the lyric working to
working
for?
I don't think the lyric has ever been working towards the weekend.
No.
It's definitely working for the weekend.
For the weekend. Yeah. Well, you know, you could be working towards
working
it.
Towards the weekend.
It's a 2017 update, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's right. But where'd you just come from tonight, Pete?
I just hosted the Exford.
Oh, ooh. The Exford. What a lovely room.
Lovely room.
I love the...
good vibes.
The outside area where you would go to, you know, post lineup in that little smokers area.
Little smokers area out in the corner.
Love that little.
You hear a good yarn out there, I tell you.
You do.
Yes. A good old
and
chin wag.
That's
out
right.
There.
That's right. You can stand around and have jokes for hours.
Yes.
But how did you exactly get into comedy?
I always wanted to do stand up comedy when I was in high school, and I did it once when I was 19.
Oh.
I did Raw when I was 19, and it was terrible. This is when I was living in Sydney. I did it once, and when I did it, I was like, I think I did fine.
Yeah.
But having the perspective now, I'm like, oh no. I bombed.
Oh, really?
So bad.
Really? What, coming out of it, you were like, yeah. There were laughs.
I got some laughs, and I got like a couple of laughs, but it was like maybe one or two from each.
And they just sort of over-exaggerated
in
your head.
Like, this went great. Like, it didn't hit with everybody, but the people it hit with, it went great.
The comic.
And then I kind of like, in my mind, was like, well, I've done that. And now I tick that off.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And so I never did it again. And then it just kept hanging around in the back of my mind. So I kept like writing jokes and be like, oh, maybe I'll do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And it just kind of hung around and it took me 10 years to do my second one.
So how did you go about writing that first raw set? Raw set's like 5 minutes? 3 minutes?
Yeah, that first one was... Let's not talk about the first one.
No,
but that's where it gets exciting. That's where the excitement is.
I think the first one, with that first one, it was just kind of like, I can't even remember. I was just writing jokes. And it was all kind of like one-liner sort of stuff.
But did you ever try that stuff out on your friends and stuff like that?
No, but the second time I came back around to do it again, me and my friend...
10 years later.
10 years later, ooh. Me and my friend Rhett, he also wanted to do stand-up comedy. And so we...
That's a cool name. What's his name?
Rhett.
That's cool.
Yeah, R-H-E-T-T. Rhett.
Retina.
Rhett.
Like
great name.
In the eye.
Yeah. His name's actually Rhett Nunn, so it's very...
Oh, wait, there you go.
It's very surprising that up until this point in time, I've yet to think of Retina.
No!
as a nickname for him. But him and I, we both wanted to start, and we both wanted to do a gig.
Right.
And so we started kind of, we'd be writing our own time, then coming together and workshopping, and we did that for probably... for a few months, actually,
right.
We'd have these because we both lived in Ballarat.
Oh,
and so we would be doing these workshops, and then we'd be like, "All right, cool, let's book in some gigs." And we finally booked in a gig,
right? On.
And then
in Ballarat,
no, in Melbourne.
Oh.
But before we did our first gig together, I went to New Zealand. It's a complicated story. I went to New Zealand for a week, and I did two gigs in New Zealand.
Booked or open mic?
They were both open mics, but I booked them in to go over there.
Oh, nice. Wow. Okay. So what was setting... Did you know someone in New Zealand before that?
No, I'd broken up with a girlfriend of 6 years.
Who
needs
it?
Like, and I'm going to go on a vacation. I'm just going to go.
That's
I'm just going to go, you know, I'm just going to experience
yourself.
The world.
Yeah, that's
and I just
it.
Booked in a holiday in New Zealand. I'm like, I'm just going to do some stand-up comedy over there because there's no one that I know.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
So if it bombs, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It never happened. Yeah. And I just wanted to do it. I was like, I'll go do that. And I did my first two gigs. My first gig was at the Classic the Comedy Club in Auckland.
Classic. Right. Is it still there?
Still there.
Wow.
Yeah, going strong. Biggest club.
So it took you 10 years to go again.
Yes.
And in that time, you had moved from Sydney.
Yeah, moved from Sydney.
Right, okay. So what was the move from Sydney? I moved to Ballarat?
Yeah, moved from Sydney to Ballarat because my friend Rhett, his family had moved down there after high school. Right, and I was always down there visiting. I ended up having more friends down there. I was like, I'll go down there and I'll live it up. I was living out in the suburbs of Sydney too because everyone's always like, why would you move from Sydney? Mm. And like, you go to Sydney, beautiful city. Yeah. But then you go out into the suburbs, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I can see why you would move. I can see why Ballarat would be the choice. You're like, oh, okay.
Okay.
There's a bit more happening out there than out in the deep suburbs of Sydney.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Definitely.
So did you write with Rhett?
Yeah, we'd write together. We'd write separately and then come and kind of pitch our jokes to each other, which was a great way to kind of like for our first 5 minutes that we both had, it'd been filtered through each other kind of going, no, that's no good. Or like not laughing or being like, don't say that. And so like we had like just having each other and both having known each other for a long time was like, that's not really funny. That could probably be funny. Like giving each other tags.
How long did you go over this one set to?
I think we just would come with a batch of, we'd come with like a batch of jokes. I'd bring out the shoebox. I go, all right, well, I've got these on this week. And we kind of go through them like, okay, cool, cool. And meanwhile, trying to also work out where we could do gigs.
Are you a good audience, Pete? Are you, when your friend Rhett is pitching you jokes, are you a good audience or are you one of those like, that's funny, that could be funny?
I used to be a much better audience. I used to be a great audience member and I have now become, I think, probably a terrible audience
really?
Member.
Really? You're the sit and smile and nod kind of guy.
Not even the smile.
Pete's wiped the smile off his face. We were trying to get the happiness going.
Like, I love comedy, and if comedy, like, it can be great, and it'll make me laugh, definitely. But there's a point where I've seen so much comedy that, like, most of it I just sit there kind of like...
Going over your own set, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or just thinking about something else, or like, okay, this is fine.
It's
this
background noise to you now.
Yeah.
So first gig in
New Zealand,
right? Okay, so then you thought you went okay?
It went well. The first one, I think, went well.
First one went well, and the second one went also well.
Second one, which was also in New Zealand, was it was fine.
Yeah. Right. So did that happen in the same week or like
same week? I did one on a Monday. I did one on a Wednesday.
Wow.
One was at the comedy club, which was like 100 people, and the next one was at a bar called Snatch Bar of all things, and there was probably like. Like 20, 30 people there.
Right.
And you ran the same set both nights?
Yeah, same set. I added one new joke to the set.
Yeah.
And the new joke did not go very well. and then I did the same set and I came back and I did my first gig in Melbourne was at Station 59.
Station 59,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I did the same set again and it did not go well.
Oh, okay. Kieran wasn't receptive.
Oh, I think Kieran was as receptive as he ever is. It also went fine, but it was like I could tell that the first one had gone, quite well. The second one had gone fine, and the third one did not go well.
Right,
and and that was all within a week of each other.
They were all within a week of each other. Wow. Yeah. So it went well the first time around. Did you walk away? Did you completely scrap that set, or did you?
Still use one of the jokes from that
That's
set.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's one of the jokes in that set, and some of it I kept, and some I was like, oh, I've got to completely scrap. Mm. It was a joke about porn, which was in that first set that I did, which I'm like, why did I ever, until you say it out loud to other people, it's like, why was I saying this? Why would I think that this would be funny? And so I kind of scrapped that. And then, there's still one joke from that set that I still do.
So what are...
Or at least a part of it.
Who are your comedy influences? Like in high school, who did you look up to?
High school, I loved Seinfeld and I loved Maria Bamford. I remember, probably not in high school, but like after high school, I remember when I got, I had Winamp and you could download MP3s from Kazaa and LimeWire.
Don't incriminate yourself now.
I think the statute of limitations is hit on these. But they had the old Comedy Central half hours.
Yeah.
I remember I had Maria Bamford's and I had Pablo Francisco's.
Right.
Okay. They're half hours that you could just download the MP3s of them. And so I had them and listened to them. And then always the gala. The gala.
Okay.
Taping the gala and then rewatching it and then watching it Me and my brother would love it. We would love it. Watch it. And then we tape it. And then watch it again with mum. We'd show mum, but we'd fast forward through the ones we knew she wouldn't like.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like we'd watch it the first time on TV, but we'd have taped it. Then we'd watch it again. I'm like, all right, let's show mum.
Screen it for mum.
It's just like, all right, these ones, this one's good. And then next one's no good.
Do you remember the standouts in that time?
I remember coming the next day to school and a friend of mine, we loved, they were called Arctic Boosh, but the Mighty Boosh when did the girl.
Yeah.
And Daniel Kitson's, his pigeon bit. I remember loving his pigeon bit as well.
Right, okay.
And of course, Hughesy's Snakes Alive is an absolute classic of a gag.
So you, mostly American comics that you sort of enjoyed?
Yeah.
Yeah? Anyone from Britain?
Well, the Mighty Boosh.
Mighty Boosh. That's it. That's the Pythe.
The Pythe. I love Monty Python too. Yeah. I think it was like with comedy, it was always just kind of like consume as much as of everything. Mm, yeah.
Do you notice much that there's like, oh, you go either the British route or the American route? Do you find that much?
I love both.
Mm. Yeah.
Equally.
Oh, very democratic. Yeah, yeah.
I know. I think I've always, because I remember, it was just that time where, like, when you could, like, you'd find something and then it always felt like more special because it was always like late at night and then you tape it and then you just have it. And I remember finding Spaced. I remember seeing
Spaced.
The ads for Spaced.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then taping Spaced and then watching Spaced. But at the same time, I remember going around a friend of mine's house, was sitting on the couch. He was stoned. And, Foxtel was on, and it was some strange movie about a summer camp, and it was Wet Hot American Summer.
Whoa.
And we had no idea what it was. No idea what it was. Watching it for the first time, I'm like, this is the fucking best thing I've ever seen.
Film.
And then spending literally years trying to find it. Like, literally,
really?
I would go to video stores.
You didn't know the name of it?
Knew the name of it, and knew it was Wet Hot American Summer, but could not find it. It was not.
Wow.
It was not on DVD at any of the video stores that I went to up in Sydney. I eventually had to apart again. Bizarre and LimeWire came in so handy later on. It took me literally years to get my hands so I could watch the end of it because we'd only watch part like the first two thirds
so
of it.
So what a viewing that must have been once you finally found
it. Once I got it back in, I was like, this is it.
Was it payoff?
You can
after all those years.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Did you end up watching the Netflix?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah. What did you think of the revival?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. Everyone came back.
Yeah,
isn't that
great? Hilarious. Just
well, while we find that original copy of Wet Hot American Summer, you'll
be
listening
to this. It'll take you 7 years.
we got time. We are still joined by Peter Jones. Yep. How are we tonight?
Same as before.
But you did do some crazy dances during that song.
Breaking it down.
That's why we had to ask you a second time how you were, because you looked like
I'm better now.
Much better now.
Happiness has been brought up.
Yeah, that interpretive dance that you just did to that song made me friggin' cry.
Yeah. It got real.
Sound like you were going to say cry, but
No. I was going to say humble, but then that doesn't work in a sentence. That doesn't make sense. No. But we were talking about Wet Hot American Summer. The film.
Yes.
The film.
Not an experience.
No. That time, Pete. Yeah. So I'm just stunned that it 10 years in between the first
and they're doing it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, can you take me through that? Was it just life getting in the way?
I think it was also cowardice.
Yep. Okay.
I think it was also it was probably good for me not to do it in that time. It was good to come back as, I was 29 when I did it the second time. It was good to come back as a person. Because I remember when I was like 19, I applied to do a radio course.
Right.
And I went through the whole course. It was Australian Film and Television Radio School in Sydney. Went through to the whole, there's a whole application process. Yeah. They do the interviews. You do all that sort of stuff. And it got, I did not get it. I did not get into the full-time course. And I was very disappointed with that.
Don't worry about it, Pete.
I remember talking to the guy who was in charge of the course, and he said, oh, you just don't have enough life experience. And I did not understand what that meant. And then coming back to comedy when I was 29 rather than 19, I was like,
yeah.
I think I understand what he means.
Yeah, there's a few more
stories.
It was
just kind of like,
yeah.
you know, just have a job as, yeah. as one of them.
Yeah, yeah,
just
okay.
like have a job, have a girlfriend, like just live your life for a bit. And then you can be like, oh, actually, you know, I'm not like the stupidest. I'm not the stupidest kid just walking around thinking. Like also a kid who thought that he was like, well, I should have won Raw. Why did they not let me? It's just based
so
on
what
nothing.
So what do you then say to other comics who are, you know, younger than yourself, who don't necessarily, you know, that they're young and that they don't have quote life experience.
Oh, like how, yeah.
Is that a thing where it's just worked for you sort of thing? Like it's...
Well, especially when anybody younger who I talk to who is taking... Whenever they say, oh, I'm taking a break, it's always something you hear and like, you're like, it's a little disappointing because you're like, oh man, if you knuckled down, you could really, you know, you could really get through that. But I think, and then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, you're like 22.
Okay,
like
take
a I didn't start until I was 29. You know, and like you got time, take a year off, go like whatever, like just live your life for a little bit and then you'll come probably go, oh, actually I think now I want it. Now I probably want it. Like and if not, then you never wanted to do it. You know, then
that's
it wasn't
how you learn.
What you wanted to do.
Yeah, that's right. So it was you say you've been Raw twice? Once you did it once.
I did it once when I was when I was 19, and then I did it twice.
Oh, so you've done it twice. Okay, yes. It was you said the first one was in Sydney.
Yeah, and then I've done it twice in Victoria.
Oh, you've done twice, and then is that the cap?
The cap was I pretended like I hadn't done it the first time. The cap is three, but the cap is also state final twice.
Oh, right.
And so I made the state final twice, and I pretend like the first one didn't
never
exist.
Never existed.
Right.
Because I assume they don't have the record.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. Is that thing where they just don't care?
Well, it was it was actually an online form, but they called me to confirm. And I feel like that's a different system.
As long as you can play it cool, you're fine. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So are you going to... Would you do Raw again?
Or I can't do Raw again.
I've done
two state finals.
That's right.
Yeah.
So how did you go on your very last Raw?
State final.
Right, okay.
Didn't make it through to Nationals.
Wow. Okay, who were your contemporaries that year?
That year it was won by Matt Stewart.
Okay.
Matt Stewart.
What year was this?
This was 2014.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah, yeah. So 2013 was the first one, and that year it was won by Demi Lardner won it, and from Victoria it was Andy Matthews, Megan McKay, and Jay Morrissey made it through.
Right on.
And then the next year, Matt Stewart won it, and Matt Stewart went through.
Impeccable memory, Pete.
Yeah, yeah.
Impressed.
Oh, I can tell you lineups from shows that I've done literally minutes in the past.
Raw... what are the audiences like in those you know smaller heats? State final, is it like a huge room?
Yeah, state final. Well, state final, they were all at the Evelyn.
Okay.
I think like for both years they were all three of the so the heat, the prelim, and the state final were all at the Evelyn.
Right. Okay.
And it seems to be the heat. Great. The audiences are great.
Right.
They're so hot. Yeah. They're pumped for comedy. They're pumped to support their friends. Mm. They'll see a ton of bad acts. So when someone with any kind of talent comes on, they have an absolute ball.
Right.
And the prelims, from my experience, have never been particularly good. For some reason, they're not. Not as many people come because there's not as many acts on. There tends to be like 30 acts on at the heat, and there's only like 12 acts on at the prelim.
Okay.
But then for the state final, that tends to be up again.
Right. Okay.
What's interesting, this is what I find interesting, is that the Perth state final, the WA state final, more people go to that. I believe more people attend that than the national final. It's
really?
In this huge theatre. One like 1,400 people go to it. Like, it's like apparently this huge theatre. That's what I've heard.
Everyone in Perth wants to get behind Perth.
Oh, Perth love. Perth come out. Perth love comedy. They come out for comedy.
We should do our first go there.
Yeah, that's right. In Perth. So when it doesn't go well, we'll get out of there.
Yeah. So a lot of them, they do the state final and go, oh, look at this. And then they come over and like, what's this?
speaking of like other states, have you taken your comedy on the road?
Yeah, I've been over to...
Bar New Zealand.
Perth, Adelaide, and in Sydney, Canberra. Did some rural New South Wales. I was up in Wagga.
Oh,
up in Wagga.
Don't get racial.
In Wagga Wagga.
So he says it twice.
Have to get the censorship out.
Okay. I was there last Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So how are those audiences in rural? Rules of
Great. Yeah,
very much. Even crowd interaction.
Are they appreciative or do they yell shit at you?
The ones in Wagga Wagga are great. They're so appreciative. They're lovely, lovely audience. They were up there.
You're doing comedy behind a cage sort of deal?
No, none of that. I don't know where those audiences are. Would love to find them. I would love to find the cage audience bottle throwing.
Joel Creasy in, what was that town he got chased out of?
Oh, yeah.
One of them.
Yeah.
Timmy's beard, I don't
know. they vary, and they're slightly different.
Mm.
They're not kind of like
as geared as Melbourne crowds.
They're not as other people would probably say sensitive as Melbourne crowds.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think some people, especially from like Sydney, seem to think that Melbourne crowds are quite sensitive, but really? Maybe that's just an inner
try it
in
Mad
Melbourne
Dog.
Thing.
Try your material at Mad Dog. Yeah,
okay. They're not a particularly sensitive crowd down there.
No. Mad Dog. Anything goes.
Anything goes down there.
Which is a great room, by the way. Which is a great room to play.
They're good. I think the best crowds, I think the best audiences in the country are Canberra.
Really?
In Canberra, the best audiences in the country. And here's my theory.
Is it because it's decriminalised? Or?
I think. Don't understand that. But I think.
Weed is decriminalised. Okay.
I think the reason why is that it is they have the best of both worlds. So it's a town. It's a business town. So it's all around politics. Mm. Everybody there is they're smart people.
Oh, yeah.
But they're also in the middle of the country, so they're quite laid back. And it's a beautiful combination of they know what's going on and they're also kind of relaxed.
What do they have actual comedy clubs in Canberra?
They have comedy nights. They have a bunch of comedy nights down there. And a lot of people come to town and do a show there.
Right, that's great. Yeah. Oh, well, okay.
And they've got a comedy festival.
Really? Canberra Comedy Festival?
Canberra Comedy Festival.
When did that start?
I think it's been going for a few years now.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Speaking of comedy festivals, how many has Peter Jones been in?
I have been a part of, my first one would have been 2014.
Wow, okay, 4 years. Yes. Nearly 4 years.
14, 15, 16, 17, 4 years.
4 years, baby.
Yeah,
there
it is.
There's Matt.
Spot on.
Matt.
You did it.
All right, here we go. So coming from your, were you on a sort of a showcase, the first?
Yeah, first one was, I was on a split show, mm-hmm. and then I did two solo shows, and then I was on a split show this year.
And so through the years, have you found, like, at what point it's better to go up? Because do you do the full run, or?
I did the full run the last 2 years.
Okay, right. So did you find that the full run's just better to do? Did you, like, you know, in putting, say, going half, the first, you know, half of the festival, second half, or, you know?
Yeah, I found that with a solo show, it is mentally exhausting.
Yeah, for sure.
But you come out stronger at the end of it.
Mm.
But it is... I don't think anyone will... People will tell you that it will be mentally exhausting, but you don't really know. You don't know that you will actually... I don't think I'd felt worse about comedy than I did in the middle of my solo show for 22 nights.
Wow.
It got to a point where I was like... You doubt every... You're doing the same thing every single night. You're doing the same hour of comedy at the same time in the same location, and the audiences are changing. So it's just I think it's designed to drive you crazy. I think you don't realize that, or I didn't realize until afterwards that everyone else is experiencing the same thing. So you hit week three, and then it's just like everyone just kind of has a breakdown. And you see other people selling out around you, and it's like, everyone's winning awards, everyone's having an amazing time. Why aren't I having an amazing time? Why am I just like, I'm just repeating this, and this isn't... And by the time your show gets to that point too, you also know where all the faults are. All the faults are so obvious, because you know that as you're hitting that point, a joke's coming up, and you're like, this isn't going to work, because it's not worked the last 14 times I've done this. And then you say it, and then it's just like, great, and here we go. Let's keep going. We've only got 2 more weeks to go of this.
Through the motions of it.
So what sort of turnouts were you getting?
My show went well. The two solos I was pretty happy with.
Awesome.
I had some great nights.
Mm.
And I think the low end, the lows weren't that low. So that was encouraging. Awesome. They were fine.
But when you say that you knew this joke, didn't work 14 times previously, was that like material that's already worked?
It was material that...
Is it filler material?
It was material that going into the festival, I was like, oh, great, I've got this bit. I'll chuck this bit in. So you're excited because it's a newer kind of bit.
Okay.
But then by the time that you're saying it over and over again, because you can't, you can only cut so much. You can't do a show for 20 minutes. You've only got so much that you can do. That a bit that when you were going into the festival was new and exciting.
Right, okay.
As soon as you start doing it over and over, you'll realize there's so many faults to it.
Okay.
And the pieces. It's like doing a new joke, this is similar to when you do a new joke in front of a big audience, or a newer joke in front of a bigger audience, a new joke that you love a bit that you've been doing at open mics, then you do it in front of a bigger audience. Similar to that, in that it's like a spaceship re-entering gravity.
Right.
It's just like all the pieces that don't work, it's just like shattering on the way through, and all the pieces that don't work are flying off, and you can just see all the faults. And the only bits that remain, the only bits that get laughs, are the only good bits.
Right.
But you just see all the faults and all the problems with it just a highlighter, because you just have to keep doing it.
And has that joke survived out of the comedy festival?
That's the problem. The problem is that those jokes, just they're beautiful little jokes on the way in, and on the way out, you never want to see them again.
Oh, wow. Done.
Whereas, dead. Yeah, I think that's the thing where it's like, if I'd had more time with those jokes.
Yeah, okay.
They could have been ones that could be like, oh, this is something great. And
right.
By the time you put it in a festival show, they get the
seasoning.
Yeah. They've been, properly worked to be treated properly.
So what, hecklers? What sort of, are you the kind of guy that will engage?
I don't tend to attract hecklers.
Oh, really?
Okay. I haven't had particularly bad hecklers.
No.
I'll engage a little bit, but I think the best, with a chatty audience, the best thing is to not engage.
Yeah, okay. Steamroll over them.
Yeah, steamroll over the top of them.
Yeah.
Which was something that... I learned from Nick Cody was telling me this, because he did a bunch of gigs in mining gigs in WA.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And he was not expecting them, and and it was kind of like, yeah. And he got told, I think he got told by Chris Franklin, said that just don't engage with these guys.
Yeah,
you got to get bigger. You got to get louder. They got to pay attention to you, because it's like, if it's something, because I think the worst thing that can happen is that when you can hear someone sort of talking in the back, and then as soon as you engage that, it's just like, oh, you've thrown off. Whereas you can probably overcome it. You can probably get bigger than it. You can probably get louder than it. You can probably get that person to pay attention, especially if it's not. If it's like loud guy in the front row who's come down and doing a dance, probably engage with that.
Yeah.
Person who's particularly yelling out specifically at you, but sometimes you can get just chatty crowds, and then it's just just steamroll them. You've got the microphone. You're the bigger entity.
Yeah, that's
just steamroll those audiences.
Or berate them. No. Never try.
Yeah, lowering yourself. Whereas you're the bigger creature.
If you steamroll, you're the bigger
thing. You should be getting laughs from the other audience. Because I feel like that's something else that happens, is that people think that the whole audience hates them, and it's just like, so you're on stage, just like, oh, this whole audience just isn't paying any attention to me. What it is four people who aren't paying attention, and 25 people that are paying attention, or 65 people that are paying attention, and they want the show. They don't want you to be like, oh, you fucking idiot. You guys are the worst.
Maybe that's what people want to see. Peter Jones losing his stage.
Getting world star.
Getting AS.
Yeah, the camera's out. I'm going to heckle her.
Michael Richards it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. That's my experience.
So what else have you... Have you got anything on the horizon? Anything coming up, Pete?
Yes, I'll be going. It's festival registration time at the moment.
Oh, already?
Geez. Already?
Haven't it?
Jeez, you got your money ready, Pete?
It's already gone.
Oh, they're asking for it quick.
It's already it happens. It's already happening. Oh, the registrations have already closed for festivals.
We've got to start booking. All right, okay.
So I'll be back off to Perth and Adelaide. Going to do New Zealand Fringe.
Oh, right. Wow, nice.
Next year, which will be fun, in Wellington.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then Comedy Festival again.
Wow, okay.
Busy boy over there.
Yeah, very busy.
Yeah,
very.
So January, February, March, April, very busy months.
Okay, all right. So we'll message you before then to get you in the studio.
Is it too early to say, but are you doing a full festival come next year?
Too early to say.
Oh, okay.
Fingers crossed, I'd love to, but we'll see what happens.
Right, very, very showbiz. I like it. Very showbiz.
Okay. gave him the out. Don't worry.
Facebook, Twitters, can the people get you?
You can get me on the Twitters at Peter the Jones.
Oh.
On the Facebooks. Not a lot happens on the Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's usually only like a gig share every now and then.
Right on.
Which is at Peter Jones Comedy. And on Instagram at the Peter the Jones.
Oh, that's
my name
of these.
Is very common.
And lastly, I saw you on a lot of, what's that one that was on? Not About Tonight. What was the other one? Live on Bowen.
Yeah.
Running gag with you. Loved Darryl Braithwaite and horses.
Oh, yeah.
What's...
Just Darryl Braithwaite
okay,
in general.
Just love Darryl Braithwaite?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
One summer, horses.
Because we're a big fan of horses down here at Laugh Out.
Yeah,
we're
a
big fan of horses.
It comes up a lot in the playlist.
Whenever it plays in the studio, it's screaming at the top of our lungs.
Yeah, it's a great song.
And I think that's how you should probably sing horses, right?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no other way you can sing.
Exactly, right? Have you been to the precinct in Richmond? Have you been there?
No.
You should go. Okay.
We're taking Pete out.
We're taking Pete.
Now? We're going now?
Right now. All right. After this.
It'll probably play soon.
It'll probably. Yeah. And because everyone, the band plays it live, and then everyone from the dance floor to the smokers area is just screaming horses.
Oh, really?
Their lungs. Yes.
Wow.
And then it goes back to normal as soon as
back
the song
to normal. As soon as the chorus ends, back to normal.
Yeah,
so
great.
It's great. Oh. But thank you so much for coming down, Pete.
That
really
is all right. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Laugh Out Proud.
With Z&G.
On Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.